Hey everyone, this is Jack here, and this is episode 11 of the Off the Beaten Path podcast. So, it has been 17 days since my last podcast. I'm setting a new record for how long I can manage to not do one of these. But it's not on purpose. I've just been so incredibly busy since Christmas. I think the last time I did it was one or two days before Christmas, right before I left to go from Iquitos to go down to Lima. And it seems like ever since I landed in Lima, I just hit the ground running and have been nonstop ever since. I haven't slept in the same bed for the past 5 days. And I'm currently at an airport in Montreal, Canada. Left South America after nearly 3 months of being there. And it's a little bittersweet. I guess I'll get to that towards the end. But first, going back in time, what seems like forever ago to 2.5 weeks ago, whenever I flew from Iquitos to Lima, it was Christmas Eve, and I landed maybe 11 p.m. And by the time I got through and got all my stuff and got a taxi, I was driving through Lima right at midnight on Christmas Eve. And it's tradition there to shoot off fireworks at midnight on Christmas Eve, and the entire city just lit up as I was driving through. I mean, fireworks all across. You know, Lima's 12 million people, and we're driving through a good bit of the city, and so fireworks everywhere. It was crazy, really awesome. Got to my hostel, spent the next day video chatting with all my family. I think I video chatted for a total of like 8 hours with everyone. And I think I was coming down with a little cold as well. So the rest of that day, I didn't really do too much on Christmas. It was kind of a quiet Christmas for me. Went out, got a little food, some ceviche. Oh, my first ceviche in Lima was a magical experience, even though I was a little sick. I think I had ceviche probably literally 10 or 15 times. But more like 10 times for the rest of the time in Lima and elsewhere. It was just so, so good. Ceviche, in case you don't know, is basically chunks of raw fish that are cured, fresh fish. It's fresh off the boat. And they put it inside of like a salty, lemony broth. And it's served with all these different vegetables, red onions, potatoes, these giant corn kernels, crispy corn, giant corn kernels as well as like soft yellow corn. And I had it multiple different ways with like fried pork and octopus and squid. And it's just, as a seafood lover, it's an absolute dream of a dish. And in Lima, it's the best in the world. I had some other good ceviches. It's a bit of a tangent. I could go on a ceviche tangent for like an hour probably. Cusco, they have this type of trout called trucha, and it's basically the same as salmon. So you have like salmon ceviche. It's like raw salmon in this sour sort of broth. Oh, it's so good. And they make it spicy sometimes too, which I love. Wow, what a dish. Yeah, I made some friends who were also passionate about ceviche, but I guess I'll get there. That first day in Lima, went and had some ceviche, came back, just watched a movie, and kind of chilled. And then the next morning I woke up, you know, hoping, okay, I guess I'll just recover from this cold or whatever. But I woke up and met someone named Demi from Turkey. And she, I basically hopped out of bed, and it was her first day in South America. She'd never been before. She lives in the U.S. and just decided to come on a whim. And didn't know anyone, didn't have a SIM card, and basically looked at me like a puppy dog. It's like, what are we doing today? Or just like wanted to hang out. Like, oh, let's do stuff together. And found her very endearing. So we went out and had a good time. We wandered down to the beach there in Lima. There's this beautiful sort of like scenic overlooking cliff that overlooks these rocky beaches. So we walked along there, went down to the water. And eventually I decided to turn on the Couchsurfing app and see who I could find who was interested in just hanging out. You can just set up a hangout on Couchsurfing. And literally like 15 people wanted to hang out, and we got this big group together. I say 15 people showed interest, but as anything with these online services, maybe like 3 or 4 showed up. But that was plenty enough to have a big group. You know, a couple of locals from Lima, another guy from England, and friends of friends started showing up. So we had a pretty big group at one point and went out to a bar and had a few drinks, played pool. talked about Lima and what it's like to live there, and you know, culture and you know, the cool places to go and see. Started recommending some restaurants that we ended up trying later on. Had a really good dinner, and yeah, ended up staying out really late that night. And that certainly did not help my cold, I must say. The next day, I woke up feeling not the best. But still had a good time. And took a good while that next day recovering. But I made a good friend group that I ended up hanging out with the next few times. Like a week after that in Lima, you know, met up with some of these people again. And then, so that following day... Demi had a friend of a friend who she knew from Boston, this friend of a friend lives in Lima, and her name is Carolina, and we really all hit it off and went and had, again, some amazing ceviche. They took us to one of their favorite ceviche spots. I had this amazing video of us, like, walking to get ceviche, and we must have played that video to ourselves, like, 30 times. We found it so funny. So we had ceviche that night, and, hung out for the next few days. Really great nightlife in Lima, and it was really cool having a local showing us around. Like, we went and danced to reggaeton music, which is, you know, this is a good time. You know, met a bunch of friends of friends of friends again, and had these like amazing like VIP experiences. We got invited down to a beach house that's in this place called Puerta Hermosa, which means like beautiful point, about an hour south of Lima. I think it's very common for people to rent beach houses all along these beach towns to the south of Lima for just like a month out of the year in the summertime. And so, yeah, they invited us down to this beach house, and we went to this like swanky, exclusive nightclub place with this like velvet ropes and guys in tuxedos guarding it. And again, a friend of a friend of a friend of Carolina, this person I met through this Turkish girl who's sleeping in the same bunk as me, you know, at my hostel. these extended connections you end up making. We got into this nightclub. You know, they just like pulled us, this one guy who I guess knew the right people, let us inside, and we ended up staying there dancing to reggaeton and, you know, a little bit of English music till like 6 in the morning. Luckily I was feeling over my cold at this point and didn't go too hard on alcohol or anything. Just had a good time dancing, and yeah, it was great. A really good time. I had a lot of fun just, you know, dancing, meeting people. I really came to enjoy the reggaeton music, and I was capturing them all on Spotify and made a playlist of all my favorite reggaeton songs. So if anybody wants that, hit me up and I'll share the reggaeton playlist. So yeah, that next day, kind of slept in, obviously, after staying up so late. Went and hung out on the beach, had a nice, relaxing day. It's like a sandy beach there at Puerto Hermosa. And came back up, and I had another day in Lima. And then my friend from Seattle, Shiraz, came to visit Lima and travel with me for a week. We've been planning this for a long time, so it was really cool to have a friend meet up, and I introduced him to some of the friends I'd already made in Lima, and we had a really good New Year's party there. So it was like, it just happened to work out this way. It was just a lot of nightlife back to back, but Lima is a really good place for it. I really enjoyed the nightlife there. Shiraz and I had some ridiculous meals. I think, you know, traveling on my own, you know, I'd eat, you know, these little meals, or eat the local breakfast, but with Shiraz there, and him only having 10 days to travel, it was an excuse to just eat all the swanky, you know, delicious places that are, you know, more expensive, like $15 a meal, you know, instead of $3 to $4 a meal. And it was worth it. I mean, it's nice to get a little swanky for a little while, because we had some ridiculous meals. I think on New Year's Eve, we were planning on eating at Larcomar, which is this place, beautiful place, like built into the cliffside in Lima that like overlooks the water, because there's a fireworks show over the water right at midnight. And we go there, and it's like completely reserved, completely booked out. So we instead start wandering around and find all of these restaurants that are like $200 a meal or all this craziness, just crazy expensive. So we're like, okay, can't do this, bounce around to a few places. Eventually we find an Uruguayan place from the country of Uruguay. Never had any this type of food before. And it was pretty swanky, but a lot less than the other ones. And we're like, it's New Year's, let's go for it. And wow, this meal was absurd. It's like you know, we could have done this like all-inclusive four-course meal, but we decided to go our own way and order our own things. And we got these two cheese dish, or this really unique dish where it was like red bell pepper with an egg on. So red bell pepper cut in half, placed face up, and they put an egg in it, and then they top it with a ton of cheese, and then they must have baked it in the oven like 500 Fahrenheit, you know, just really hot. And because the pepper came out all black and crispy, and the egg was just cooked on the inside, and the cheese was all melty and had like brown goodness on top of it. So that was amazing. And we also had this like cheesy, it's like a giant Parmesan crisp with this topped with onions and tomatoes. And then we ordered way too much food because we also got like two other dishes. One was like medium rare goat that was really tender. Never had goat cooked where it wasn't slow cooked before, and it was really, really incredible. And the other one was kind of like a schnitzel dish, like this breaded, pounded, flat beef that was breaded and fried and, again, topped with more of these over-easy eggs. So, it was an incredible meal. And that really set the tone for the rest of the trip because I feel like every day we ate just phenomenal food. More ceviche, lomo saltado, which is this, basically tenderloin. I think I might have mentioned this in an earlier podcast. Tenderloin, stir-fried with tomatoes and onions. It's funny, when describing this, I think of the Spanish word cebollas y tomates. I'm still, like, decalibrating from Spanish. Quick side note, I'm in Montreal, Canada, like I said, and when I arrived here, I said hola to the guard, and he responded in French. I'm like, I can't be speaking in Spanish, but when I get to India, that's not going to help. So I have to really turn off my Spanish brain. Tangent on a tangent. It's been really cool learning Spanish. I have really enjoyed it, and it's something maybe after this trip is over, because I've just got too many other things going on with other languages, but after this trip is over, I want to keep trying to learn more and more Spanish, because it is it's a really accessible language, and I feel like I've already gone a long way, so keep in contact with all my friends here in South America, or not, I guess there in South America now. Anyway, so after New Year's, New Year's Eve, night of eating a lot of good food, going out and enjoying a little more nightlife, celebrating New Year's, the next day, Shiraz and I went up to Cusco, which is a cool little town that is kind of the tourist capital of Peru, I would say. I think that's a fair assessment. It is right at the edge of the jungle, the Amazon rainforest. And it's in a very mountainous region, going from sea level in Lima all the way up to, like, I think it's 3,300 meters, or around 10,000, 11, maybe 12,000 feet, something like that. And, that first day, the altitude sickness was pretty rough. Headache, and I woke up in the middle of the night with a headache, just not feeling well, but eventually got over it. But, yeah, going straight from sea level to that altitude was a little rough. But it's worth it, because this town is, I guess I'm calling it a town. It's a city. It's a very touristy city, but it's definitely a city that, you know, tourism isn't the only thing they have going on, because, you know, you have this kind of rolling hills, almost mountains, and you have this town sort of built in the valley of between these mountains. And I have a cool video, I posted it on Instagram today, of just all the little houses that you can see from this vantage point up on the mountain when we did the city tour. It's a really beautiful city, and it's so strange. I've never seen a city like this with these narrow, narrow roads, like one-lane roads, and sidewalks where on either side of the road where only like one person can fit walking. So you have these narrow streets all made out of cobblestone, and the buildings are so bizarre. You go inside, we stayed in a couple Airbnbs, and like nothing's level. It's like you have the kitchen is on one level, and then you walk down to the living room, and then like to go into a bedroom, it's down and then back up. They've kind of just built these houses on the hills without any grading or anything. And I think this is the Incan tradition. This is like the way you do things. It's like Machu Picchu and how they built the terraces there. You don't completely reform the mountain. You just work with what's there. And I think they did that with the whole city of Cusco, because you're just walking along the street and all of a sudden it's like, you know, you fall a foot because the sidewalk just changes level on you. So, yeah, it was a, it's a really unique city, and a lot of cool culture going on. There's, I think one of our last days there, there was just like a parade of clowns that came up. But they were wearing like red noses, like red clown noses, but also like some Incan stuff as well. And they just came up and hugged us and kissed our cheeks. And we were like, you know, have a good day. They were like playing noises and like just going around to people. Yeah, again, like, don't know what to make of of that, but yeah, it was a really cool city. So that first day that we were there, we wanted to do some tours outside of Cusco, and so we found a tour agency that had good reviews on Google and signed up for a city tour and for a trip to Machu Picchu. We were looking at different ways of doing it. There's a train that goes from a nearby town from Cusco all the way up to Aguas Calientes, which is the Machu Picchu town, the town that's right outside of Machu Picchu that you stay in before you go. And it was so expensive to take the train. And we found out we could take a car instead and found a good company with good reviews. And we're like, all right, let's do it. So we booked a city tour with them and this trip to Machu Picchu. Turns out this company was poor. I think a lot of the good reviews, that they also organize four-day treks to Machu Picchu where you actually walk the whole way along the Inca Trail. And I think they do a good job of that. But the city tour and basically the way we did it was to get in a van, be driven most of the way, and then do a short hike to Aguas Calientes, and then walk up the rest of Machu Picchu on our own. We were just, for both of those tours, it was wildly disorganized. They, like, contract out to other groups, and the city tour was cool, but it was just, you know, the guide wasn't that good, like, alternating between Spanish and English, and clearly explaining a lot more in Spanish than in English. I think me, Shiraz, and one other group of two people, they were... we were the only English speaker. So we ended up bonding and going out to dinner that night. An Australian guy and his Peruvian friend. Anyway, we were the only English speakers, and we were feeling a little left out from the tour. Didn't think it was the best. They took us around to like four different sites. And the first site was, we spent way too long there. And then the other ones we felt really rushed. And then we thought the other ones were really cool. The cool sites were basically these Incan ruins that lie outside of Cusco. This was basically the Incan capital was Cusco back in the day. Back in the day, meaning like the 1450s, 1400s, something like that. And, man, what a cool civilization. They built this massive series of trails and networks and with very different technology, you know, no horses or anything like that, but they... had this really amazing society. Don't be lazy, don't steal, and don't lie. This is like their three tenets in life. I believe it's those three. There's an amazing mythology about the first Incan rising out of Lake Titicaca up in the mountains, which we ended up going to later on, a little foreshadowing. And this interesting mythology about these three realms, the realm of the snake, the realm of the puma, the realm of the condor. Basically like the lower realm, the earthly realm, and the upper realm. Just so interesting to hear about, you know, the mythology of these people and Pachamama, this earth spirit that is, you know, behind everything. And you meet people that still believe this, that still believe in Pachamama and like our responsibility to the earth and this sort of thing. And not I kind of alluded to this before, it's like you don't completely reshape the mountain, you just work with the mountain to modify it slightly for the needs. Mm-hmm. And it's a very much agricultural society. All of this belief about growing food is really important. So yeah, a lot of their religion is related to harvest festivals and that sort of thing. So yeah, it was really cool to see all these different sites from the Incans. And a lot of the sites, when the Spanish, like, there was a lot of Incan temples, again, to these sun and moon and stars related to agriculture and things. And when the Spanish came and invaded, they leveled the temples and built Catholic churches on top of it. So one of the places we saw, you could see, like, the Incan, the pre-Incan foundation, actually, which was before the Incas. And then some of the Incan walls, but most of it was knocked down and, like, a Catholic church was built on top of it. which still stands to this day. And pretty much all the churches you see in a lot of the cities around Peru were once where the Incan temples were. And you can see that in some of the stonework and different things. And we saw one prime example of that. And so that was really interesting to learn that history and to see the different architecture that, you know, that meant. So the city tour was just okay. Like I said, that we got dropped off some crazy place and had to find our way back. And we booked the Machu Picchu tour with them. It's like, well, they're called Machu Picchu reservations. Certainly, maybe they're a little better at that. We went ahead and booked it because just didn't really know where else to go. There's a ton of options there, and it seemed like a decent price, and so we figured it out. And in the end, I'm glad we booked with them because we met some amazing people, so it all made it worth it. But it was just as disorganized that next day. But before I get on the next day, I should mention that night we had another amazing meal. This place called Organica. I was in the mood for like something vegetarian, been eating a ton of meat and stuff, and I had a salad with 20 different types of greens and like these pickled fruits, and it was, I think, one of the best salads I've ever had in my life. If you ever go to Cusco, check out Organica. I think it's like number one on TripAdvisor, number two on TripAdvisor. It was actually a series of three restaurants, all owned by the same person, and I think we ate at two of them, and they were both just, they're like number one and number two in Cusco. And not that expensive either. I think we might have spent like $15, $20 a meal with a drink, you know, in both places. And, oh, it was just absurd how good the food was. Anyway, then the next day was Machu Picchu. So, we woke up really early, went over to the tour agency, and had a 5-6 hour drive out to a place called Hidroelectrica, which is basically the closest you can get to, as close as you can get to Machu Picchu by a road. Like I said, a train goes further all the way to Machu Picchu town, Aguas Calientes. But Hidroelectrica is about a 3-hour walk from Aguas Calientes. So pretty close. And they told us we would be hiking the rest of the way. Actually, they didn't tell us that at first. Again, the disorganization of this company. But we figured that out, that we needed to walk. But what they didn't tell us is that we would be doing it on our own without any guidance. And they were just like, go that way. And so it was a group of like 10 or 14 people that we just got dropped off at this small little town, Hidroelectrica. It's not even a town. It's like 4 or 5 stores, no houses. And there's a train track. And they're just like, follow the tracks. And so we have this group of like 10 or 12 of us, and we're all just like, well, all right. So we go for a little while and hit a dead end. And we're like, well, I guess this isn't right. But we looped back around and figured, oh, it's actually pretty straightforward. You follow the tracks along this very level path. And we're all just sort of like, wow, we're really on our own here. There's no guides. We're just walking along this rain track and the edge of the jungle towards this town, not really sure where we're going. And we ended up really bonding. It was a great group of people. A couple of people from Ecuador, a guy from Argentina, someone else from the States, a couple from Italy who were living in Colombia, a couple of Brazilian guys. Like, so Brazilian guys went off, but we had this sort of group of people that were all hanging out, walking over to Machu Picchu. And over the next few days after Machu Picchu, we had, you know, went and did Machu Picchu together, but we met up a few times for dinner and met up again in Cusco for dinner. And then a friend from America, we met up with her back in Lima the next few days. Shiraz and I met up with her. So it was a really cool experience to, you know, meet these people from all over the world and see Machu Picchu together. And I feel like that was really a special part of the experience for me, is not just going there, but just like, again, like chatting with someone from Ecuador and, you know, them saying, it's like, well, if you ever need a place in Ecuador one day, you can come by and come stay with us. It's like, oh, that's really special. That's cool. So, I had a great group of people. We hiked our 3 hours, which is pretty easy. We got really lucky with the rain. It's the rainy season right now in Cusco. And during that whole 3-hour hike, we just had a little bit of rain, nothing really intense. Apparently the day before it was pouring the entire 3 hours. So luckily we didn't get any of that. Went to Aguas Calientes, which is actually a really cool town in itself. It's on this incredibly powerful river, just like raging river. that is right next to the city. I mean, just right on it. As a matter of fact, there's a bridge that goes over this river, and it's just like class six rapids. I mean, like you would, if you, like if I fell in there, you'd just be dead. That's it. It's over. So it's just these crazy rapid river, and you're staying like two blocks away from it. You know, you open the window and you can hear the roar of the river. So yeah, I had a nice little dinner, went out for drinks with their new friends, but not for too long. Maybe like, I think we left at like 9 to go get back in bed, because the next morning we woke up at 4:30 to wake up early to go up Machu Picchu. So we all wake up, meet up at 5 in the lobby, and walked down, grabbed a coffee, and walked off towards Machu Picchu, which is pretty close to Aguas Calientes. Maybe 20 minutes walk, you're at the entrance. We had our tickets and went inside, and then hiked up 1,700 stairs to get to the top of Machu Picchu. Yeah, it was quite the hike. I was loving it. Some of our group wasn't loving it as much, but we all made it as a group. We didn't leave anyone behind. And yeah, we made it up there. I think it was right around 6:45, got inside maybe 7:30. And yeah, Machu Picchu was amazing. What a special place. I see why it's such an incredible, like such a popular tourist destination, because it really is something special. It was built at over the course of 60 to 80 years in the 15th century, kind of right before the Spanish Empire got there, and they closed it off and hid it from the Spanish Empire. And we learned all about the history of it, like how it was rediscovered by an American archaeologist, explorer person from on the 20th century, earliest 20th century. And the jungle just like grew over it. And so they've taken out the jungle and have restored it just enough so that it can be seen. But a lot of the route, they haven't like rebuilt it as it was back in the day. They've kind of put straw thatching on a couple of the houses to show what it would be like, but most of the houses are left without the thatching, just so you can see what the ruins look like today. And it's mostly about preservation rather than like trying to rebuild it or something. And yes, yeah, this beautiful little town. It's apparently was a very important town in for the religion of the Incas back in the day. They think it was a place where priests from all the other Incan cities would come to train and learn from the expert priests, basically. And you see all these different, like the sun temple room, and how the window aligns perfectly with this altar on the summer solstice and the winter solstice in this very particular way. So, really great astronomers. I think the Spanish astronomers thought that the Incan astronomers were better than they were whenever they first met them, which is pretty cool. I mean, this society was really fascinated by astronomy and thought it was very important for determining the future of crop outputs and this sort of thing. And they knew a lot. They could clearly make some incredible structures with very little technology. Just these massive stones. I mean, 10 feet by 10 feet by 10 feet, perfectly carved in place and stacked in this very symmetrical pattern. The stonework is just incredible by them. And Machu Picchu itself, when you first get there, you have that classic view where you're overlooking everything. The view is amazing. It was cool to see that view, but that's the crowded part. There's 5,000 people that visit there every day, and what you don't see in those pictures are all the other people that are there taking pictures right next to you. I think what I liked even more was actually climbing down into the ruins, and luckily because we got there early, a lot of the crowd was behind us. It's kind of this giant circuit through Machu Picchu. You kind of start with the scenic overlook, and then you wander through all the ruins and kind of work your way out. It's kind of a one-way path. And so I think wandering through the ruins was my favorite part. Seeing all the little rooms and structures and views, and there was some alpaca hanging out, chopping the grass, and yeah, it was great. Yeah, Machu Picchu was really amazing, and I recommend it to anyone to go check it out if they have the time and means. So after Machu Picchu, like I said, I hung out with these friends a few more times in Cusco. Didn't really do much else in Cusco. With all the running around, just took like a chill day in Cusco. We thought about going to do some other tours. There's so much more to see in Cusco. Sacred Valley, Rainbow Mountain, this beautiful lake up in the mountain. It's one of those things like, oh wow, I've won a whole nother week here. But Shiraz and I went ahead and booked our flight back to Lima from Puno, a whole nother city, because we wanted to see Lake Titicaca. And we had to figure out how to get up there. It was this whole process. We like left Cusco, got a colectivo in a taxi, went all the way to Puno, or Juliaca, the city right outside of Puno, stayed there for a night. In retrospect, we spread ourselves too thin. We should have just had a couple extra days in Cusco. But we made the most of our time in Puno. We went out to Lake Titicaca, went and hung out on these floating islands. We wanted to do a different island tour, but we didn't have enough time to do that. So, again, just kind of spread ourselves too thin. But we ate some good food in Puno and had a nice time going out to these floating islands, which were clearly very touristy, kind of this whole routine. But it was cool to see the highest navigable lake in the world there at Lake Titicaca. And, then went back to Lima, had a lovely last couple days there, met up with another friend that we made from our Machu Picchu hike. Another thing we did in Lima that was really cool on the last night was this place, it's like the Magical Fountains. I can't remember the names in Spanish. It's the Mystical Fountains or the Magical Fountains in Lima. And it was this park you get in and you pay like $1.25 to get inside, and it's packed on a Tuesday night with all of these people from all around Lima coming inside, and it's this giant park filled with different fountains. And we went at night, and it was all these like normal fountains that you maybe see in front of a giant beautiful French building or something like that, like round ornate fountains, but also these sort of like modern fountains that were completely different. There was one that was almost like it reminded me of going into a laser dome where they had set up like this wide aspect ratio fountain, like a really long and skinny fountain, and they put a bunch of mist into the air and then like projected lasers onto the mist to like get tell this story and this like beautiful history of Peru. And there was like condors and snakes and pumas, like the things I was telling you about earlier, and this like projection of like the map of Peru and all, you know, these like very realistic images of like women and like these traditional dresses and all like the traditional dances and things. And then in between all these images, the mist would stop and it would be like a crazy fountain show where you have like 40 jets shooting into the air synchronized to ballet music. I mean, just crazy, crazy stuff there. Just a cool thing to see. We actually saw the performance twice because we wandered around the park to see all these other smaller fountains that, you know, it's like arcing waters, like tunnels, so you can walk under the fountains. It's just really cool thing. And for $1.25, it was pretty cool. So, that was neat. And then actually we went out, met up with some friends that we first met on the city tour and did some karaoke, which was fun, and had like a late dinner there. It was great. I think... You know, I heard from a few friends that, like, Lima is not the best city, or you should skip Lima to spend a day or two there and go other places. But I actually really, really enjoyed Lima. Had a great time there. And, I think if you know the right people and you're willing to go out and have some fun, like, it's a great city to go out in. And Miraflores is beautiful. Barranco is beautiful. Last day in Lima, we did a walking tour of Barranco, which is the kind of bohemian district. It's the smallest district in Lima, and it's got all this street art everywhere and all these like crazy, amazing restaurants all over the place. I think the number 7 restaurant in the world is there in Barranco. Didn't go to that place, but went to a few restaurants there. The walking tour was just really cool. Had a great guide and showed us a bunch of cool street art. A lot of these like small little art exhibit places that were really interesting, and that was a good time. And then bought a few souvenirs and wrapped up our time in Lima yesterday with one final good meal. Chinese Peruvian fusion called chifa. It's really common in Peru, and it was absurd, so good. Dim sum and this amazing vegetable dish, and the dim sum was like fusion-y, where it had like these Peruvian slow-cooked beef inside of dumplings. I was like, what is happening? It was overwhelming. So good. So got really full, and got on a plane late last night, early this morning at 3 a.m. and had an 8-hour flight, managed to get like 6 hours of sleep. And Shiraz and I were both on the same flight, came up to the same airport here. He's flying back to Seattle, and I'm flying off to London to start the next phase of my journey. Wow. Yeah, so South America, 2.5 months, is over now, and it's kind of sad. It's tough. I've really enjoyed my time there. I've enjoyed learning Spanish. I found it easy to travel there. I guess one thing, you know, I didn't have anything bad happen, and is what I was about to say, but I did lose my phone and have to get a new phone in there just a couple days ago. But I mean, that wasn't even too bad. Like, it's, I had an incredible time in South America, and I felt very safe, and overall, it was just wildly positive, you know, just no real major negative events to speak of. And really loved the people that I met. I think I made friends for life down there. So, yeah, it's. I hope I can keep up this pace for the rest of my travels. But I know it's about to be very different. So I'm open to that as well. Because India is... it's kind of ramping up the difficulty in language, if nothing else. All this Spanish practice isn't going to help me whenever I'm having to communicate in Hindi. So, that'll be... interesting. It's going to be interesting change. I have a big time change ahead of me. India's 10.5 hours ahead of where I'm at right now. And at least I'm breaking it up a little bit. Like I said, I'm flying to London. I have my flight there is tonight. I'm about to board in like 15 minutes, actually. And so that's 5 hours difference. And then I'll have a day there and then connect through Helsinki, Finland, down to New Delhi, India. And we'll see how it goes from there. So, I think that catches up to today. I will definitely try and make my gap between podcasts a little smaller. Like I said, it's just been crazy pretty much every day since Christmas. Been sleeping in a different bed every day. I'm going to keep up the streak. I need to figure this out. But I've slept in a different bed every day for the past 5 or 6 days. And it's going to keep happening until I get to New Delhi here 3 days from now. So... yeah, it's once I get to India, I'm going to stay in one place for a few days, try and just chill out for a little bit, get used to the jet lag. Hopefully it all works out well for me. So yeah, with that, I'll wrap it up, and I'll see you guys next time.